Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Mary-Kate Olsen has a weird wedding. Mariah Carey joins the billionaire club. Chrissy Teigen tweets again. And the Apple Watch isn't dead this holiday season. That and more with Anastasia Casmer right here. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from another Grant's Rants co-host, Anastasia Casmer. Hello.
Hi.
Blogger, actress, and host. So there's a lot to discuss here.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Great. Well, thanks for coming in.
Of course.
I'm really excited to get into some topics with you, and I'm glad that you're in town. I know we've been trying to kind of book this since I started the show.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time, and, you know, I'm here in LA, so I'm excited.
Good,
finally.
Yeah. I'm glad that you messaged me, and we can get the show going. I like
yes.
it. I like it. So we know one another through the NBC Page program, which mm-hmm. seems like a while ago now, you know, so we kind of know each other on and off for a bit.
Yeah, it does. And I guess we've had so many life transitions and things and jobs since the Page program.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even living in LA anymore.
Yeah, your life is totally different from
yeah,
the other Page.
You're not at NBC anymore, right?
I am on a temp basis right now.
Oh, okay.
That's a long story.
It's another. Yeah. That's another rant.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm there. I'm very fortunate to be back. But it's odd to leave and to come back to like such an institution like that.
Yeah.
You know.
But. Yeah, it's nice. So I'm glad that we kept in contact. You kind of realize the importance of networking and why you meet certain people. And like, look, I'm sitting here across from you today, and
yeah.
who would have thought?
I know, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of these topics that caught our attention. You know, you came into the studio and you were talking to me about this Mary-Kate wedding. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, so growing up, I was the biggest Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen fan. Like, I watched all the DVDs as a child, It Takes Two. So I've always followed their life, and they've kind of been the Britney Spears of acting. And like, what I mean by that is like, I will always love Britney Spears. Like, it doesn't matter if she shaves her head, like whatever she does wrong, I'll always have a love for Britney Spears. And that's kind of how I feel about Mary-Kate and Ashley. It's mm-hmm. like after their childhood career, they kind of, you know, went off the radar, and then they kind of started doing bizarre things. But it's like, it doesn't matter, because I'm holding on to that childhood Mary-Kate
yeah.
and Ashley. So I was shocked. I woke up this morning and I knew that they had been dating for the last 3 years, this older guy. But I don't know. I didn't really think it was going to end up in marriage.
Yeah. I mean, she's 29. He is what? 46?
Yes. He's been married before. He has 4 kids. He's French. And that's the extent that I know about him.
No, what is Mary-Kate doing? Is she still working in fashion?
Yeah. I think her sister is still running, the brand Elizabeth and James.
Mm-hmm.
And her other sister, I think it's Elizabeth Olsen, she's been picking up the acting jobs.
Yeah, I've seen her on a few talk shows promoting
yeah.
different films and stuff. Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, according to Page Six, they had a bowl of lit cigarettes they passed around at a wedding.
Oh my gosh.
Can you
wow.
imagine that? Like, I would walk out. Like, that to me is like, that's like a stoner wedding.
Yeah, definitely. Or a French wedding. I went, did you get a chance to see where they got married?
It was in New York.
In New York, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we need to know more about this guy, because Mary-Kate is such an icon. So all I see is like pictures of them at basketball games, and I want to see like an interview with this guy or something, like hear
mm-hmm.
him talk.
I mean, they look like a weirdo couple to me. Like, if I saw them, like, walking around the city over here, I'd be like, you know, like, what's that dynamic like?
I know.
Is that, like, her father or uncle? It's, like, it's strange. But yet, they must have so much money between them. You'd never know. They look crazy. She looks like she's a greased out hair. He looks like he could be, like, some, like, you know, weirdo. But
I know. I try not to judge. That's why I'm like, I have
I
to.
I am.
So I'm like, I want to see an interview with this guy or something. Like, who is this guy? Like, what is the attraction?
Right.
That's kind of my thing.
Yeah, like, what's their story? Because there's got to be something there.
Yeah, and like, when they first met, wasn't it weird? I mean, he's so much older. He looks older. He's so much taller. So like, how did he even go about hitting on her? Like, what
yeah.
did he say? Like, because I feel like if it was me, I would have been creeped out. Guy's 20 years older. He's super tall. He's been married before, 4 kids. Like, I immediately would have been turned off. Like, great.
Right. It's just kind of like
you don't match. It's just not a match. Yeah. Like, at that point.
So he must be, like, a master, like, player with words or something.
He's got to have something that I can't tell. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think of those two completely, like, blowing off the Full House reboot and not wanting nothing to do with it?
I kind of hate when celebrities do that, to be honest, because I feel like that's where they made their money and that's where they became icons. And I feel like you should be grateful for that and kind of, you know, like give the fans kind of that what they want, you know, that reunion and kind of going back to that, even if it's just for like, I don't know, I just, but at the same time, they're such big stars now that I can see them not wanting to go back to that. And so, I don't know, it's just like hard to...
Well, I think they should have done an episode or two. I don't know how they would have done it. I mean, there's two of them, so they could, you know, mix it up.
There's two of them, yes.
I mean, you know, though they look different now. Yeah. They look different now, though. I mean, it wouldn't be as, like, you know, easy as it was when they were, you know, two blonde toddlers on the set, you know?
Yeah.
So, who knows?
It's kind of just, like, paying tribute. I feel like, I agree. I think they should do at least, like, one. Even if they come back, like, I don't know, from college, or they live, like, in Europe, and they're like, hey, Dad, and they come back for a little bit or something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Well, we wish sincere congratulations to Mary-Kate.
We want to see the pictures, too.
Yes. Now, Mariah is also paired up with someone else, and more money with these two. Mariah's been everywhere promoting. I guess she's directing some type of a Christmas Melody. It's a movie on Lifetime, I believe, or Hallmark, one of the two.
Okay.
And so she's been everywhere, but she's been wearing these necklaces, the two necklaces, everywhere. Uh-huh. And, of course, she gets the question every time, so that's an opportunity for her to say that it's her boyfriend that gave them to her. She's got one necklace that's $500,000.
Wow.
And it's like, what is it? It's a yellow diamond heart pendant.
Wow.
I mean, it looks good, but to me, it's just like, I don't know. I don't really know jewelry.
Just so over the top.
Yeah. I wouldn't like guess like, oh, that's like $500,000 piece
on her neck. On your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mariah Carey's always liked her jewelry. When she was with Nick Cannon, I think she got multiple engagement rings because I know they renewed their vows every year, and I feel like every year I saw like a new diamond ring and they were always over the top. So she's definitely a girl that likes her ice and her bling, so I could see her being proud to flaunt that. Which, by the way, did you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
I did.
Did you
actually
see her performance?
I did.
Was that not, that was like a CD running, right?
It was. I mean, yeah. I think, honestly, in her defense, I think it was for everyone. It's even the Broadway shows.
Do you remember last year when she performed last year?
The tree lighting?
No, at the parade. She had not a horrible performance. Oh. It was terrible. And she blamed it on it being really cold. It was the weather. So I think this year, because she did the same exact song, that they just decided to play the track. And it's true. I mean, we've seen and heard Mariah Carey live on YouTube or whatever, so we know she can sing. But I just felt like the Thanksgiving thing was complete. Like, it was just, they had
CD. I mean, how many times have we heard that song? To me, it's so recognizable. Like, I know when I'm listening, like, I would know if there was something different about it. You know what I mean? It was.
Yeah.
But the fact that got me was that there were three, like, backup singers behind.
Wait, okay. I honestly, there was one. Like, I thought it was Oprah.
I know what you're talking about.
Because I said to Marcel, my husband, I was like, is that Oprah back? And he's like, no, babe, it's the singer. I'm like, okay.
And it was distracting, especially because I knew, like, I had watched a lot of the parade at that point. I'm like, I know they're playing tracks because someone posted on Facebook, actually, that they can't use wireless microphones when they're on mobile, like, you know, moving floats and things like that. So that prevents them from singing. But I swear I've seen people perform live on that show before in the past. But Mariah, no surprise there.
Yes. Was she wearing the pendant? Did you see it?
I don't know if it was the pendant one. Probably. I don't know. But I know there was another one. She was on like the Steve Harvey show and then a bunch of other places.
Where she was wearing
it. It was a different one, but it was like all diamonds.
Wow.
And then she was on Good Morning America with that one too. I don't know if you saw that one, but they embarrassed her with some clip from like 1990 when she was performing. And she was like, she was not having it. She's not having it. I get a kick on her. For a while, I couldn't stand her. Like, I didn't like 90s Mariah at all. But now that she's gotten to be, like, crazy sophisticated
Mother
over the top.
Yes.
Now I'm, like, more into her. I can handle it now.
Yeah.
So I can buy into it. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
She just owns it now.
Right.
Yes. So do you think this relationship is going to last with this billionaire?
I think so.
I feel like that's kind of like the Hollywood route. It's like you get in a relationship for love. Her and Nick Cannon were in love. And mm-hmm. when she was with Nick Cannon, it was kind of, everyone was kind of like, what? Nick Cannon? Yeah. Because he's younger and he's kind of goofy and he's a comedian and he just didn't seem, it wasn't a Jay-Z and Beyonce relationship where they were at the same level. It was like Mariah Carey, Nick Cannon, down here from San Diego. But I honestly thought that was going to last. I was like, wow, maybe this is real love. He got the name tattooed on her back. But I feel like after these Hollywood relationships for love don't work out, then these women go the billionaire route. Like Salma Hayek is with a billionaire, Janet Jackson with a billionaire. So like this is the Hollywood way. It's like first time love, second time money.
I'm wondering if her being with Nick was just to be able to just have children. Like that was just like that point in her life where she could
have kids. I think he probably made her feel really flattered and doted over her.
Oh, yeah.
And she seems like someone that, obviously she's rocking these diamond necklaces. She seems like someone that needs that doting. He probably was just so obsessed and enamored by her because it was Mariah and she probably loved it.
Oh, yeah. But that gets old after a while for everyone.
And for him, too. He probably felt like, okay, this is not a partnership. It's not what I want to be in. Like, less of a man type of thing. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. On E! There's a new show coming out called Famously Single. And Brandi Glanville is making her reappearance into the reality world on the show. And so is Aubrey O'Day.
Yes.
Still trying to get in front of the camera. There.
I'm actually really excited about that. I loved Brandi on The Real Housewives. And the reason why is obviously, I think she's kind of an annoying character, but I tend to really love people who own who they are. Mm-hmm. Brandi knows who she is, and she's not afraid to kind of just tell it how it, or just be who she is. Like, she'll get drunk, make a fool of herself, and she laughs it off. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to be that person.
No.
But I do enjoy, it's very entertaining for me.
Yeah, I like her, like, no-nonsense. Like, everything she says is just, like, you don't know what the hell's going to come out of her mouth. It's, like, a reality producer's dream, I bet, to have her on the show. And I fear that this coming season is just going to be lacking, because she brought something that no one else did.
I mean,
Lisa Rinne is one thing, you know, but she's no Brandi.
No. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a heart for Brandi. I definitely did. In the beginning, whenever they bring those characters, like, was it Megan in the OC, the new girl?
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I don't like that girl. I want to be her friend. And then I end up liking them by the end of the season. I'm like, they're amazing. They're telling it how it is. And both Brandi and Megan, I mean, they have amazing bodies. Like, they're not that has anything to do with their personality, but, you know, they're put together. I like it.
They are. Like, you would, if you just read the articles on Brandi, you wouldn't picture someone that's like, you know, as together as she looks all the time.
Right.
I think it was like, you know, Lindsay Trainwreck, but.
Yeah, like she should have some flab, like late night Jack in the Box session.
Yeah, right.
That's what you picture, but somehow she cares and maintains her health. The only thing that bothers me about Brandi a little bit is thinking of her as a mother. They don't ever really show her kids on the show.
We've never seen it.
Yeah, so, but I mean, we know that she has kids. We see it in the media and stuff, and that's the only thing that bothers me. I feel like once you become a mother, you have to kind of watch your reputation because your kids are going to be exposed to it and see it, and Hollywood kids are old enough to know better, so.
I mean, she's a woman of 43. You would never know by watching her behavior on the show.
No.
You know? Well, she's doing the show, and there's this other guy, Callum Best, who's in it, and it seems that they kind of picked up with one another. Pauly D is also in the show, and there was a rumor that Pauly D and Aubrey O'Day are together. I just think it's way too convenient to have all these singles link up on the show.
Right.
Come on.
Like, oh, you guys are together, we're going to make a show.
Yeah. So the show is basically, this is what I read on page 6, it's 8 lovelorn celebrities move into a downtown LA loft for the series as they get to the root of their issues, and they get help with a team of experts.
It kind of sounds like couples therapy.
It does. It's like E's version of couples therapy. Yeah. It's like, okay. I mean, you know, would you check it out? Would you watch it?
Well, definitely. I mean, I want to see Aubrey on a show again. I mean, I didn't even watch, what was that show she was on with Diddy? Making the Band?
Making the Band. She was on Celebrity Apprentice, which she thought she ran.
Yes. But I think I would tune in. Even for Brandi, I would tune in. At least for the first episode.
Yeah, I'd probably give it a shot with the first. I'm curious.
Yeah, but it sounds like it could get kind of trashy for E. Like, it sounds more VH1 than E.
It does sound way more VH1 or even like a Wii TV.
Mm-hmm. Especially Brandy's character and Aubrey for, you know, what they're known for in the past, their kind of lifestyle and craziness. So mm-hmm. it's kind of borderlines the E. Right. E's doing a lot of borderline stuff though anyways.
Right. So this guy now that Brandy's with, he's a British-American actor, I mm-hmm. believe. And they claim they're just friends, but she and her brother took a picture at Thanksgiving and he was in the photo as well.
Right. And so, then there was a hiking mm-hmm. photo too.
Oh.
I saw that they were hiking together. I think for Brandy, she seems like she's still just having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They're just pictures and we'll see. We'll get more from this show. But she does seem kind of just like a good time girl. And I think in that article, I also read that it was maybe just like a hooking up
yeah,
thing.
I think you're right. Yeah, I saw that as well. See, I think like maybe she's just like that is going on for sure. I right. believe that. But also I think she's more of like a guy's girl anyway.
Yes.
You know, we've seen how she plays with like Kyle and yes. all those chicks on the show. So I feel like she's just more of a guy's girl.
Right. And she seems like the kind of person that can actually get involved in something without getting their feelings hurt. Like she knows what she's going into it for. Because this guy has a reputation of being a player.
Yeah.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So maybe they're at each other's level. They have an understanding.
Yeah, yeah, they might have found their match.
Right,
I'm,
right.
And famously single on E. Let's talk about a controversial tweet that was sent out in the wake of yet another shooting this year. Of course, you know, we'll you know, want to acknowledge that there was a shooting at Planned Parenthood, I believe in Colorado.
Yes.
Was it? And so three folks have died. One was a officer. 12 were hurt. 9 were sent to a hospital. They did detain the gunman. So hopefully they will bring that guy to justice. You know, it seems like they usually always just kill themselves. But this guy's, they've got him in custody. So.
Right. I think this guy was in his 50s. Was he 53? Do you remember seeing that?
I don't.
Okay.
But I would, you know.
Yeah. So this story is really interesting because they haven't yet determined the, at least from what I've read, that they haven't determined the cause why, but a lot of people are speculating because that clinic, that particular Planned Parenthood clinic, was possibly selling like aborted fetus tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe this guy has, you know, political issue with
right,
this.
Right, right.
So that'll be interesting to, you know, when they finally reveal why he would target the specific Planned Parenthood. And the reason why I brought up his age is because, I mean, you don't really see, well, I don't know, but Planned Parenthood to me, I've always had an idea. It was like young kids, where they go, anonymous. And so I'm interested to know if there was a tie, maybe his daughter or someone he knew, or he obviously felt really passionate because Planned right. Parenthood is such a weird place to target. But Chrissy Teigen, so she sent out the always controversial Chrissy Teigen sent out a tweet that, do you have the quote
I
from the
do.
Tweet?
I do, yeah. She said, every time like this happens, John and I immediately make another donation to Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
So something as few words as that.
What do you think about her outbursts? I go back and forth. I have a love-hate with Chrissy Teigen.
Me too,
I feel
me
about,
too.
I feel like Brandy about her in the sense that I like that she's outspoken and owns who she is. But at the same time, I put Chrissy Teigen in a different category because she's John Legend's wife. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she should hold herself a different way. But it's like, I don't want to say you should change who you are because you're with him.
Right.
I don't know. There's just something weird. I just feel weird about it.
I feel the same way. I feel like I don't, like, love her, but I don't right. hate her. I think she's beautiful. I love her marriage and her relationship.
Right.
And, like, they put it all out there, and I mm-hmm. think it's a good thing. It's nice to see.
Right.
Like, a couple that, you know, are
and they seem really fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
a fun couple.
Yeah.
But sometimes she's annoying.
Yeah.
There's something annoying about her.
I know. The certain celebrities and their Twitter accounts, I mean, the publicists must just, like, throw their
right.
hands in the air. I mean,
she knew she was going to get controversy from sending this tweet out.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people have found fault with it because they feel like she should be, like, making a donation to the police department of the fallen officer or for the medical bills of the
right.
folks who have been suffering. And so I can see that. I mean, but it's like,
it's such a sensitive topic, too, mm-hmm. when there's deaths and, you know, especially a fallen police officer who's trying to help. It kind of surprised me that she would send out a tweet like this
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you're going to get flack from it.
Well, that's because the Republicans have made this such an issue. They've made the Planned Parenthood group and everyone involved like vilified. I mean, it's awful. So it's just it creates such controversy that even something like a tweet can cause such a problem.
Right.
I mean, I think it's just a terrible thing.
I think John Legend even chimed in to support her, like, towards the end, because her Twitter wars were getting a little bit crazy. But she does need her publicist to go over her tweets before she sends them out. Especially, you know, she's a pregnant mother now, and it's different.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll learn her lesson from this. I doubt this will, you know, hinder her.
No, she's
going to
keep going.
Yeah.
But I wonder for their relationship, I've always wondered if, I mean, obviously John married her, but I wonder if he likes that. I feel like, you know, even a wife to a husband or husband to a wife, if you have someone that's always outspoken and always getting into it, and you're trying to build your own brand and your own image, I kind of feel like you have to work together to, like, maintain that together. It's like she kind of is just in her own lane, spouting off and...
Like, when they announced they were going to have, like, cuts to Planned Parenthood, then I could understand a tweet like this. Because it's like, okay, you're showing your support, you're making a difference, like, you know, that's where you stand, which is great. But, you know, when something like that happened, a tragedy, it doesn't really make a difference
also
if you're donating.
And also because it hasn't been confirmed why that guy targeted Planned Parenthood. They're speculating that that's the reason why. And so she was kind of going back and forth on Twitter about that as well. But yeah, to make that statement without knowing exactly what this guy was there for, his purpose. I mean, he could have just been a crazy person there, but yeah. So she kind of made it political. She kind of added that fuel to the fire too.
I always believe if you're going to make donations, you really don't need to make them public.
Right.
You really don't need to, like, show off your charity in a public way like that. If that's, you know, if that's what you want to do and that's how you choose to respond to that situation, I don't know why you need to make an announcement. Like,
well, she better really make a donation. I mean, she could have just been saying, oh, this is what we immediately do, and then she never does it. But I hope Planned Parenthood says, oh, okay, well, the legends just don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that one. Anyway, let's talk about Black Friday and this report that I recently read that came out that the Apple Watch sales are not dead. They said there are signs of life, according to the New York Post, when it comes to selling this watch. Best Buy and Target saw a bunch of upticks in sales Black Friday weekend, specifically on Thanksgiving. Apple still does not put out any type of promotion or discount on any of their stuff for Black Friday. There's nothing really like getting people in the stores, but it's Target and Best Buy that are kind of eating it and making those deals. So they've expected to sell between 5 to 6 million Apple Watches in December, which sounds pretty good. But compare that to the Apple iPhone, which they're expecting to sell 75 million in December. I mean, you know, are wearables something you're interested in?
Okay, so I just recently moved to San Jose. And I am in the heart of the Silicon Valley and the tech industry. My husband works for Intel, and they, you know, they work with Apple and all of the brands up there. And I see the smartwatch, the Apple Watch, everywhere. I'm curious to know if you see it in LA.
Once or twice have I seen it. I know I don't really spot jewelry. Like, I'm not really actively looking, but I know at one job that I had, there's one guy who ordered one and showed it off, and he was the only person in the office to have it.
Right. So in the Bay Area, they are everywhere. Everybody has them. But the thing is that I guess there's kind of a stigma that if you have the Apple Watch now, it's kind of dorky to have now. And I've heard people say, oh, the Apple Watch is going to be cool 5 years from now. And I don't know why. I don't know if you've heard that too, but I guess it's kind of dorky to, like, have a digital watch or something.
Is it like the digital watch of the 80s where it was, like, goofy, and now, like, in the 90s, like, everybody had one?
Right. Yeah. That's what I've been hearing around. Like, so, for as an example, like, my husband doesn't have one because he's like, oh, if you're in the office and you have an Apple Watch, you're kind of a nerd, you know? So I was really interested to hear that the sales are dead. And actually, I've been to the Apple store to fix my phone, and I've asked the employees that work there about the Apple Watch that wear them, and they don't like them. I know they're not supposed to say that, but I've heard employees working there at the Genius Bar be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. So,
I mean, you don't need to charge it, right? I think that's the only thing that would be a selling point to me, because I think it uses, like, the movement of your arm to, like...
To charge.
To charge. So, like, that's the only... See, to me, and I've said this on the show once before, I don't need anything else I need to charge. Like, I'm always plugging things in. Car hookups and all this stuff drives you crazy. So that I would... I just don't need that. But I guess it's like a companion thing to be able to, like, check texts or whatever, but...
I'll tell you what I would like it for.
I don't know what I would use it for.
If you lose your cell phone, then you can call it with your watch.
There you go.
Like, where's my phone? Oh, hold on.
Well, that's an expensive way to find your phone. How does it work? Like, do you have to pay for a data plan for that? Like,
it's probably tied into your phone, whatever data plan that you have for your phone. So, but I'm sure that you'd probably have to increase your data plan.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's a good question. And I want to know, I need to go around and play around with it. Cause I want to know, like, how do you text on it? Or, you know, is the keyboard the same? Or I guess maybe you talk into it.
You can do that too. Yeah. I've played with it briefly, but to me it was like, honestly, within under a minute, I felt like I like experienced it.
Right. And they have really, they have ones with really expensive bands too, right?
Yeah.
$10,000 gold band. Yeah.
See, that's the other way they can make money off those is just all the different types of bands, leather, whatever.
Right.
So it's really common. What else are you seeing up there, tech-wise?
Oh, tech-wise. So, yeah. I don't know. You guys might have seen this already, but they have charging stations now at certain places. So Starbucks, which is underneath where I live, you don't have to bring your, you know, cell phone charger anywhere. They have little pads that are on the Starbucks table. Have you seen those yet?
I was in the Bay Area last Thanksgiving.
And you saw those. Yeah. So you can put, they have the USB for your phone. You can plug that and just set it on the charging pad. So that's something unique that I've seen. What else? Yeah, pretty much just the Apple Watch where we live.
And it's everywhere, huh?
It's everywhere. Yeah. Everyone has them. For me, I wouldn't invest in an Apple Watch yet. I mean, there might be other features later because I wear a watch or a timepiece. I see it as a classic thing when I wear a watch. Mm-hmm. And it's also, you know, jewelry to me. So a digital watch isn't jewelry. And for the most part, when I'm checking the time, I use my phone. I always have my phone on me.
Right.
So I don't really see what the need would be. The only time I could see needing it is if it has, which it does, I think the built-in fitness tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really into working out, so that would be worth it for me, or a heart rate monitor, or if you have some type of medical condition, like if my mom or my dad, like, just strap that on their wrist and get the tracking, you know, right to my phone, or, you know, if they're linked or whatever, that would be good.
Yeah, the Apple devices are great for the blind. They are so well set up for you know, to be conducive to be able to read text messages, anything incoming. So to have an Apple Watch actually would probably be better.
Right.
Then to have to worry about a phone, especially if you don't have to charge it. I mean, it's like right there.
Right.
So I think, yeah, there are definitely advantages. It's just not necessary for me right now. I want to get a new iPad. I'm like very overdue to buy a new iPad, and that's kind of like
That's outdated for me. I have an iPad and I never use it. So what do you use it for compared to your phone or your laptop?
I use all my devices equally, and I didn't think I would. When I got the iPad, I had a little bit of buyer's remorse because I was like, well, Grant, what are you going to do with this? But I was like, I had ideas, and now what I do is I mainly just watch videos. So I'll, like, stream Bravo, I'll watch YouTube clips. I mainly watch video with
it. And you prefer to do that than from your laptop?
Yeah, because I can just carry that to the kitchen while I'm cooking. I have a good place that I can put it, and I don't need to worry about, like, this big keyboard or, like, you know, I don't have to charge the iPad as much as I do a laptop, but I use all my devices equally.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I don't feel like it's a waste, so that's why I feel like I want to get another one, but... Yeah, I mean, that's an easy one to, like, not have to invest in.
Right. You
know? And that's how I feel about the Apple Watch right now.
Yes.
Who knows? I could be saying this now, and you and I could listen to this podcast in 5 years and be like, oh my God, we're so ignorant.
I know, right?
But maybe not.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
So Anastasia, we mentioned you are a host, blogger, and actress. So let's talk about how you manage to do all those things. And, you know, you're not really in the center of LA at the moment.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, I just moved 6 months ago to the Bay Area, San Jose specifically. So that's not even the city. It's not even San Francisco. And it has been quite the transition. But I will say this. When I first left LA, I was honestly really afraid because things were starting to pick up for me here. As you mentioned before, we worked at NBC together And I left a corporate life to pursue, you know, my dream of hosting. And that's always really scary to do, of course. But things were picking up in LA and I was excited. And then I got this, you know, we got this call that we had to move to the Bay Area. And I was like, there's nothing there. Like, if you want to pursue entertainment, mm-hmm. you're in LA on the West Coast. But I found an agent in San Francisco. And to my surprise, I've actually been getting more work in the Bay Area because there's less competition there. So
see how things work out. That's fantastic.
I mean, my goal is to get back to LA, of course, but it's nice because I can really build up my resume, my skill in the Bay Area. There's a lot of theater work there that mm-hmm. I'm trying to get into. You know, I can take classes, but I booked a national commercial in the Bay Area, which was really exciting. I didn't even know that they shot national commercials. But one thing that my agent told me when I signed with them was that they shoot a lot of products in the Bay Area because of the Silicon Valley and all the tech companies, that when people see like a car or like a smartwatch or something shot in the Bay Area, they automatically associate it with a smart product. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, if think of someone who's like in Ohio or and they see like the Golden Gate in San Francisco, or they see like, you know, some car that's energy efficient, they want to invest in that because of, you know, where it's not like by the LA River or graffiti. So she told me that, so my agent told me that there's a lot of stuff that comes through there, and she was right. So, you know, I'd been wanting to book a national for a long time. It was my acting career started when I was 18, in college. And then of course, you know, I was going to school and then I started working full time. And so I had some stuff on my resume. And then it was kind of always a goal of mine to book a national. That was kind of like the next level for me.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that I've been able to achieve that in the Bay Area. And most of the time when I'm on jobs in the Bay Area, most of the actors I'm working with, they work at like Apple, Facebook. They kind of do it part-time.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a different culture than here.
So different. So
I feel like here, if you're like an actress, that's it. Like you wait, you know, a lot of people that they just kind of wait around for the phone to ring here. They don't have like a second career or like a path like those guys.
Right. Yeah. So, it's definitely been, it's been a great transition. Like I said, I was hesitant in the beginning, but I have been booking consistent work almost what I was making at when I had my full-time job at NBC, because my jobs are paying more and it's like I work a couple times a month and then I do a lot of traveling. So it's nice that I have the freedom and flexibility to travel. But if anyone has to move or was, you know, hesitant about making a move somewhere, the way I've kind of viewed it is like, okay, move to the Bay Area, build up my resume, my skill, kind of be like a big fish in a small sea.
Yes.
And, you know, really own that area, because theater is a huge, I mean, San Francisco is a huge hub for theater mm-hmm. On the West Coast. And so that's kind of where I'm kind of hoping to kind of build everything up there.
It sounds brand. It sounds like it's all like meant to be that you're there. Like, it sounds like you're exactly where you need to be right now.
Yeah.
You know,
that was not my outlook in the beginning.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Cause it's like just not part of your plan. Like you said, you were like, you know, you were on the path, you were making things happen. And yeah, I mean, how did you kind of get past all of that, just by finding success? Or, you know, how long did that process take for you to just be comfortable with, you know, leaving the city?
Okay, so, you know, I told you I've been there for 6 months. It honestly took me until 2 weeks ago.
Wow. Okay.
To really own that, because I left so much. I mean, LA was my dream ever since I was a child. I grew up in a small town in Northern California. And I've always known that I wanted to be in LA. I wish I would have went to college here. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad I didn't, though, because I probably would have got lost in the sauce in LA if I went to college here. But, it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I always do this to myself. I feel I always kind of what we were talking about, you know, on the break, that your path, and that if you would have done this a long time ago, you would have been here by now, or if you would have done this. And I tend to always do that. Like I'll say, oh, if we were still living in LA, I would have been here by now. Who knows?
Right.
So something clicked in my head 2 weeks ago that whoever you are, you know, if you do a podcast, if you're an actor, if you're a host, if you're a personality, be who you are in that space, wherever you are, even if you're, you know, find a way to make it work. And so I was like, okay, I'm an actor, I'm a host, I'm living in the Bay Area. There has to be opportunities here. I'm in a major city in the country and it's not over for me yet. And I'm still young. LA is something I want to go back to. So, one of our hosting friends, Daryl from Black Hollywood Life, he posted a quote on Facebook yesterday that said, it's never too late to be what you might've been. And that resonated with me too. I'm like, okay, I don't know if it's like living in LA, or I don't know if you feel this way, but I always kind of feel like this time pressure, like I'm getting too old to like make it happen.
I just wanted to say that too. Yeah, like our timelines, we're always thinking timelines and like when what's too old, like you realize that when you're past it,
when the gap closes.
Yeah, like are you like, should you get worried before it happens? Like, what's too old to who, to where? What's all relative, you know? It's just like...
Do you think that's an LA, New York thing because we're so fast-paced? Or do you think other people...
I think it is an LA, New York thing because if you look around, everyone's comparing themselves to somebody else. And everyone just, like, lands places at different times. Like, you know, I'm going out for jobs right now that, you know, I probably should have had, you know, 2 years ago. And it makes me feel behind. But yet... You don't know that, you know, maybe I don't need to take those positions. Maybe I can land in the right place. But it definitely makes me feel nervous thinking about timelines because I'm like, what am I, like, what can you do about it?
Right. And I'll tell you this, too, that moving to the Bay Area has also kind of taken the pressure off of the timeline thing a little bit. Yeah. Because the reason for that, too, is because I'm not in the entertainment hub anymore. And their lives in the Bay Area compared to LA or New York, these hubs are so much simpler. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go to work, they have their job, there's a lot of families. So it's totally different. I do miss LA, though.
Yeah, what do you miss about it?
I miss the diversity in LA. So where we live in San Jose, I mean, obviously California is diverse throughout, but we live in a newer part of San Jose. Around all the tech companies, there's a lot of families. I'm Asian, but there's a lot of Asians and a lot of India, like from Asia and from India, mm-hmm. That don't speak English well. So there's not a huge young culture there, specifically where we live. And San Francisco is close, but it's still a 45-minute drive. So it's not enough to like go have dinner and drinks in the city and drive back, or, you know, it's like have one drink.
Yeah.
So I miss that part of it. I do miss my friends. I made so many friends in the entertainment industry. I miss hosting at AfterBuzz. Mm-hmm. I just miss being around people who are like-minded because I'm always inspired by that. I'm just I have the type of personality where it's like I like to see young people pursuing their dreams, and that's what I've always loved about LA. I feel like people have all these opinions about LA, like people are this way or that way. And I've always thought at the end of the day, like people come here from all around the country, all around the world to pursue, and there's pursue their dreams, and there's something about that energy that inspires me.
Yeah.
Whether it's fluff or not, it's just like I'm here this weekend to visit, and I already feel that energy of like young people like going after it.
Yeah.
And even in the failures, like, you know, you and I again we're talking about the break of, you know, how you're feeling right now, and it's like it's still in a way what you were telling me inspires me too, because it kind of makes me feel like, okay, well, I've had those feelings before, mm-hmm. and now like I'm kind of like above it. So I know you're going to be above it too, but it's like that relatability. So that's kind of that. Those are the things that I miss about LA.
Yeah.
Just that energy.
Everyone goes through it, you know, and it's interesting because I feel like I look around here too, and I look at who belongs to my gym, and it's like, you know, those are the people that like live here. If you were visiting, you're not going to join Crunch on Sunset. You know what I mean? like some of the people who actually live here, who go to the gym, they're all like our age, and they're all here pursuing something, and it's I just find it so odd. It's like I always say, like it's a city full of 20-year-olds, really.
20-somethings.
Yeah. If you break it down and you remove all the tourists and, you know, the older folks who have retired and, you know, just live in their homes here, it's like the majority of the people who live in these apartments and who are walking these streets are our age, and it's just weird. It's like a city full of 20-somethings, all with some type of goal. And that's kind of what inspired me to do this show, to be honest with you, because everybody has a story, but also, like, everyone has a different way to reach their goal, and everyone has a different pursuit in certain ways. You know, with all the various folks I've had on the show, I've never said at the top of the show, this person is named off three things, and no one's been the same. Everyone's had something different.
Right.
So it's just like we're all here. We all want the same industry, but it's all a different shade. And I just think it's like, you know, such, like you said, good energy, and it just makes for an interesting show.
Right. Yeah. And absolutely, I would love to live in New York, but because I feel like that's the other hub.
Yeah.
But the weather just like really terrifying.
I'm cold now. Look, it's like 60 degrees. I'm cold. I'm not even gonna front. I'm really cold. I woke up, I sleep with an electric blanket. Like, I'm really too much. So I can't get into all that now when it comes to the cold. But what is the ultimate goal?
So the ultimate goal for me is to build up. I really want to get back into theater. I have a lot of theater experience too. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. I have like middle school, high school, a little bit past, but that is kind of what sparked my interest in acting. And so I'm excited to get back to that because I do love the live performance.
There's nothing like it. And you know, I was just thinking about this yesterday, actually. I have not seen a live play or a musical, and I can't tell you the last time, and I miss that.
You have to. Have to go.
It's an LA thing. I think it's just like, it's just not as readily available to me here. It's not part of the culture. Like you said, theater is very big in the Bay Area, specifically in San Francisco, and then, of course, New York is its own thing.
It's here, it's like shows, and I'm like, oh, my friend's performing at such and such bar, like, come to the show.
Or like a Bee Gees at the Forum, or, you know, who's at the Staples Center. That's what people pay to see.
Or the, what's the other popular one that people go to right off the 101? Bowl. Yeah, it's something like that, or the Greek Theater.
Yeah, that's what people, that's part of the culture here, but I miss seeing, like, an actual theatrical performance with a script, musical numbers, like, I miss that.
Yeah. So my goal in the Bay Area is to get back into theater, like I said, to build my resume, you know, to really take advantage of all that the city has to offer. And instead of being like, when I first moved the first 5 months, it was nothing but I miss LA, I hate it here, I miss LA. My goal now is to just own San Francisco, own that space, own the entertainment scene there, to network my way around. And the goal is to get back to LA and, you know, keep going. Yeah. I don't really like to set hard goals because I feel like
you can make a difference in this business.
No, either. And then you get disappointed. So it's like, I just want to constantly grow in my career, I would say is my goal. Because who knows, so much can happen in a year. Mm-hmm. And I find that if I leave myself open to any, I get an opportunity I didn't think was going to be there or that, you know, so I just kind of leave myself open.
What would you say is your biggest win in your career? Would it be that national commercial?
To date, it has been the national commercial. And the reason why is when I first started acting, I met with a manager. She was a huge manager. Her husband produced the New Year's Day movies and Valentine's Day movies with all the celebrities.
I loved those.
Me too. Well, my cousin was working for her at the time out of her house, and I was still living in San Diego. And she met with me, and she said, I wouldn't even meet with actors unless they had 10 national commercials. And she said, you know, but this is your cousin, and I want to work with you. Well, of course, she pulled the LA on me, never worked with me. But
there's some Hollywood talk for you. That's real talk.
Right. She sold me the dream. But I always had that number in my head in national commercials. Because for me, I think that there's two ways to pursuing entertainment, and you know, it's starting in the mailroom and working your way up if you're on the corporate side, and if you're on the acting side, it is, you know, starting from the ground up with commercial work and non-union jobs, and you know, hopefully meeting a lot of people in the industry, or of course if you have an in, you know, somebody, a relative that's an executive. So I'm on the other end of that spectrum where I have to work my way up, and so the national commercial was definitely a benchmark for me. If anything more, it's just like a marker to keep going. Every time you book a job, it's a little bit of encouragement that you're doing something right. You're doing well. Yeah. I mean, I had to audition for this. So that means I'm, you know, doing well in front of a camera, that casting directors. And so it's kind of like, okay, keep going.
Yeah.
You book this, the next step. And I'm sure you feel that way even in your career with jobs too.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's kind of like a little bit of a curse for me in this industry is like, you just get enough to keep going, but you just, to me, I haven't had that like breakthrough yet.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of encouragement and it's like, well, I'm not going to stop now. Like, you know, but it's just like,
you can't stop now. No. What would you do now?
I'm in too friggin' deep.
Yes.
I'm in too deep.
You're past the gap.
Yes. What was the commercial?
Can you say? It was for AT&T. Yeah. Oh, it hasn't aired yet, but hopefully soon, because I'm trying to get a lot of residual income out of it. But
I would hope so, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was another nice reason. It was on my vision board to book a national commercial, and I kept saying, how cool would it be if I booked it before my wedding? Obviously, because of the cost of a wedding. Mm-hmm. I just kept saying, it'd be so cool if I booked a national commercial, like just in my head, out loud, whatever. And so the way that it works when you have an agent is that whenever you're going to be gone, you have to book out with your agency so that they don't send you for a job or submit you for an audition and that you no-show, because of course that looks bad on you. So I had booked out for the month of September because of my wedding. I just wanted to focus on the wedding and not be stressed out. My agent in San Francisco sent me the job anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I was annoyed with her. It's like, how could you say, like, I told you. And I also don't want to know if there's work, because then there's that temptation.
I know, and, like, I'm like a worker. Like, if, right. You know, if something came up here and I had booked to go home for the holidays, I'd be like, all right, I'm staying and doing this job.
Exactly. That's especially when you have a freelance position or you're pursuing something like acting, it's like you have to take the work.
Oh, yeah.
So I for me, like, to book out, it's, I don't even want to know that there's work there. So she sent it to me anyways. And I was contemplating going, because I'm thinking, well, what if I book this? It's shot a week before my wedding. Is that going to be a stressful time? Is it going to be worth it? Am I going to be mad at myself? But then I was kind of thinking, okay, well, if you don't book it, at least you get the experience of going into this audition for a union job. It's just another stepping stone for you. So I decided to go. And the day that I went was kind of crazy, too, because there was a potential bomb package in the Bay Area. So I was listening to the news when I was driving into San Francisco, and it was on the radio that they found this backpack and that the bomb squad was like coming to whatever. Right. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, this is no. And I ended up going, and the way that I audition when I do things is that I put everything out there in the audition. I'm like, all my personality, I'm over the top. And then when I leave, I don't think about it. It's like it never even happened, because I don't want to sit there like, did I get it? Did I not get it? I know they're auditioning hundreds of actors.
Yeah. That's a great thing. Like, I need to get into doing that more, right, with just interviewing in general, because I look at every little, like, you know, how long was it? You know, what, do they ask me enough questions? Like, did they write anything down? Like, I analyze like every little piece. So yes, that's a good thing to practice in general.
I just literally leave it all there. And then I just go about my, whatever it is, the gym, it's literally leaves my mind. So the next day after the audition, I was watching Dr. Phil, and my phone rang, and it was my agent. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I remembered the commercial. And if you don't book it, they don't call you, you know, so you just kind of don't think about it. That's why I leave it behind. And they called and they put me on a hold. In LA, the way that my commercials have worked that I've booked is, when they put you on a hold, that usually means they're seeing if all the actors and the times are available, and that means you usually have the job. Mm-hmm. So we called, my agent put me on a hold. I was super excited. And this is totally random, but my husband was in Las Vegas golfing with the CEO of AT&T at the time. So I wanted to be able to tell him that. Yeah. I wanted him to tell him on the golf course, like, hey, my wife, I think I was like fiance at the time, booked one of your commercials. I thought that would have been the coolest thing. Yeah. Right? And I've met him before, too. This is like a random, like, LA thing, you know,
relationship. What a small world. Yeah. Who knew?
But I didn't want to tell him that, hey, I'm on hold. I didn't want to excite him if, you know, if I didn't end up booking it. So then all night, I never got a call back from my agent. And I was like, wow, that is the first time that has happened, that they've put me on hold, but I didn't book it, right? And I was just like, okay, whatever. Like, at least they considered me. You know, like, that's how I'm justifying it. At least I was considered. Like, at least I did well in the audition. And then the next morning, they called. I think I took my mom to get a massage or something for her birthday. And, you know, I always turn my phone off. When I turned my phone on, I had a voicemail and missed call from my agent. And I just knew that I booked it.
That's why I never turn my phone off. Maybe I should start, because that's when the good news comes in.
Yes.
When the phone is off.
When your phone is on, you're constantly checking, clicking it. So sometimes you have to do those things, like airplane mode, just turn it off to really just shut it off.
Yeah.
And it's so true. So I woke up from, I was still in the massage room, like still putting my clothes on. I couldn't wait. I just like hit play and found I booked it. And, you know, national commercials, some people could say, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, it's a small thing, or it's a stepping stone. It's not like a role or something. But for me, it was more than a commercial. It was that benchmark in, you know, something that I'm trying to pursue. It was that medal that, hey, keep going. So that's really what it meant to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the next week you had your wedding.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way. I couldn't get enough of the photos. I think it was just such a classy, well-done wedding for what I saw. It looks great. It looked like probably a lot of time and a couple of years planning such a thing, right? I mean, it was over the top. I liked
Thank you. Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. But that's how I feel. Like, I, you know, go big or don't do it at all. You know, right. So it looked very well done.
Yeah. Everyone kind of contemplates, you know, it's getting married, if they should do something small or if you should go over the top. And I feel like if you're going to do it well. Mm-hmm. And it came out really nice. But surprisingly, the wedding, I don't think was expensive as most people would expect. We got married at San Francisco City Hall, and that is a government building. So it's way cheaper than a lot of the venues that we were looking at. We rented it out for a couple of hours. If you guys want to see the pictures, it's on Instagram at anastasia.casmer. But yeah, it was the way that I even found the venue. I was looking for a friend of mine that wanted a simple courthouse wedding. And I told her, do San Francisco City Hall. And her guy was like, no, I'm not getting a courthouse wedding. We're not doing that. But he had never seen City Hall. And so when I was looking it up for them, I found out that you could rent it out privately, which is what we did. Mm-hmm. Something funny that happened at the wedding, though. So we had really beautiful ceremony. You mm-hmm. saw the pictures.
Yes.
And we came out of the wedding. There was a naked protest.
Oh, God. You're still in San Francisco, yes. I guess, right?
So, yeah. So we're all on the outside taking this giant group picture with all of our guests. And our photographer's in the street trying to capture this photo. And two cops whipped up really quick and they pulled over. And they got out of their car really fast. So we thought we were in trouble for something. And I'm like, no, we paid for this. And he says, everybody, he's like, okay. He's like, there's a protest going on. So then we're getting like nervous. Like, okay, so like, God, yeah, like, what is it?
Yeah.
And he's like, and everybody's naked. So sure enough, like 10 minutes later, of course, it's old men, hippies. Like, it's not, you know, amazing bodies and women that have been grown out, if you know what I mean, forever. And, like, no type of shaving in there. And fully naked. I'll show you the video later. But, yeah, fully naked, having these signs. They're an organized group, and they stopped right in front of City Hall. So the funny thing about that was is that we had a lot of guests from Ohio and Pennsylvania, like, small town.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, you know, they're thinking, like, this kind of stuff happens all the time in the city.
What I love about that is if you take a chance and look, I mean, if you take a moment and look at her photos, everything is just so well done. It's so classy. There's the photo of the wedding party. It looks like on a dynasty with a staircase. And so, you know, to go from that to
naked one,
people with grown out, as you mentioned. two worlds collide.
Yeah, it was funny. And so, I mean, there was old ladies like, I mean, we had a few kids there too, the flower girls, they were like trying to cover their eyes and everything, but it made for a good story. And we wish we would have taken a photo with them, because we were like, that was one that could have went viral. That could have been like on the San Francisco News.
Yes.
So we missed that one.
Well, it still looked great. And then you went on, a bunch of travels lately, I noticed, one of your photos. I noticed that even on your blog, you try to keep, you know, that travel side of your life very active. Tell me a little bit about that.
So that was one of the things, too, when I decided to leave NBC. One of the reasons was because my husband does travel a lot for work. And, he was taking, first it was like a few trips, you know, and I could ask, can I have a week off? But then he started traveling a lot more frequently. And we decided that, you know, while we're young and while we don't have kids, that it's a good time to travel because, you know, his work is like paying for some of the stuff, you know, his plane ticket, his hotel, whatever. So we have been quite a few places. For our honeymoon, we went to Greece. We spent 2 nights in Athens. We spent a couple nights in Mykonos. It was like supposed to be the party island. Mm-hmm. And then we ended in Santorini, of course. But yeah, so I have a flexible lifestyle, which is, I mean, my ideal job, because there is the worker side of me, wishes that I could work in entertainment, you know, full-time job. And then if I booked work, I could take off. That would be the dream. I mean, I have a college degree. That'd be the dream.
Right.
But I mean, I can't go into Google or Facebook in the Bay Area and say, oh, by the way, I'm an actor. If I book work, I'm going to need to take off 2 days.
I know. I could only wish I could do something similar. Even just like take time to travel. That's like something that's missing from my life that I want to be able to do. And it's not even necessarily financial as it is time.
Right.
It's just like, you know.
In LA, tough. I feel like if you take time off, you feel like your job is at jeopardy.
Yeah.
I remember my boss told me that he took some time off. I don't know if it was for his honeymoon or he just decided to take a trip. And when he came back, he saw that some of his stuff was kind of packed up. And he wasn't fired or anything, but it put fear in him, you know, because there's like a sense of...
That's a terrible thing to do to someone.
Right. So he doesn't take time off anymore.
Wow. Damn. Well, tell me about your blog and what else you want to promote and where we can find you and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I have a blog It's www.stayclassyanna.com. It's Anna with one N. And I'm mostly blogging about travel now. That's what I'm most passionate about.
I noticed, yeah.
So I'm trying to keep it to travel and trying to share some traveler tips from places that I go. I get a lot of people that message me and ask me how I plan things. And so love sharing that advice. And I'm on Instagram at Anastasia, A-N-A-S-T-A-C-I-A, dot Kasmer, K-S-M-E-R. And I'm also on Twitter at Stay Classy Anna. And yeah, those are all the places you can find me.
Great. Oh, sounds good. I'm so glad you got to come in. I'm glad that we got to do this. I was looking forward to this one.
Me too. Thanks.
No problem. All right. Thank you for checking out Grant's Rants. You know what to do. You can like us on Facebook. You can rate us on iTunes and keep it going because there's another big episode coming before the end of the year, so you're going to want to check that out. Anastasia, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions 2015.